We're continuing our series on what is the gospel. What is the gospel? We're going to turn to two foundation texts. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Remember, Genesis chapter 3 is called the proto, P-R-O-T-O, evangel, E-V-A-N-G-E-L. Hope you can read that somewhat. The proto evangel. Proto meaning what? First, yes. Evangel, good news. So this is the first instance of the good news in the entire Bible. It kicks off with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I'm bringing it back again because I know we've heard this, but are we really hearing? Yep, not, I heard somebody say, not yet. No, we're hearing, but we're not hearing. This is such good news because the bad news was right before that. We had sinned, curses were all put on us, the ground is even going to be cursed, the air is cursed. But out of all of that, he brings first instance of good news right away. Man, and that's something that's a verse you ought to frame and put everywhere over your house, in your house, and then meditate it until it explodes in your heart. Because we're kind of understanding the words, just like a sinner can understand the words that we're about to read, but getting that revelation of it. Man, this is good news, and we've been recipients of the good news. That's why Sister Rolanda is just so excited here. And some of us aren't. We still don't get it. That's okay. Sort of. But just keep coming and keep hearing until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. Hallelujah. Let's get cracking with this. This is good news. Glory be to God. Profound news. And this is not fake excitement. Now, it took a lot of years to get here. Best believe, because I had to go through a whole lot of prosperity preaching, theatrics, dramatics, entertainment, because that's just what Satan wants. That's why I remember doing like this, because this is battle, this is war.
That's right.
He doesn't want that word to get out, and he certainly don't want you to understand it.
Exactly.
Miss Millie, he fought you for years and want you to have no part of it. He showed her every kind of negative concerning so-called Christians. Hypocrisy and deceit and lies. Backbiting. She said, I want no parts of that. This is the good news. But the good news is we don't even understand this good news. We're Christians. We're saved. But the gospel is so shrouded and clouded and distorted. Perverted, we don't know what is the good news. This is the good news. And this is spoken by the mouth of our Father God, the eternal creator himself, speaking this good news. Look at Genesis 3:15. I, who is the I? The Lord God. I will put enmity, opposition, between you and the woman. He's talking to the devil. He's talking to Satan. I'm going to put opposition and enmity between you, Satan, and the woman. Between your offspring, your seed, your children, your followers, and her offspring, her seed, her followers. He, who is that? Her offspring, and who in particular is he talking about?
Jesus.
Jesus is the offspring of the woman, right? We talked about that before. Here, we hear it again. You can hear it 100 million times. It doesn't make it. We need to hear it 100 million and more times. You know how it goes. Jesus was born without a father. The seed was supernaturally placed into her womb by the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 1 and Matthew 1. The Holy Spirit supernaturally placed the seed into the womb of the woman, therefore bypassing the need for a human male. And then he told Joseph to take Mary, your wife, Because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. And so from the seed of the woman, that's where that comes from. Because remember, the seed is from the man. Seed is from the woman. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about that supernatural seed that was placed in the woman. From that seed is going to come one. Now, did you just catch that? Remember, the woman doesn't have the seed. The seed is in the man.
Right.
Yet it said the seed of the woman. Did you read? Let's go back and read it again. I think we read too fast. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring, and that word offspring is seed, that which come, and her offspring, seed. He, the seed of the woman, shall bruise, what does that mean? Crush your head. That's a death blow. But you will get a nip on his heel. I believe that's the crucifixion. He got a nip in there. But ultimately, even the nip cost him his eternal damnation. That's good news. What is the good news? That Jesus is going to destroy the destroyer. And boy, has he done a lot of destroying. Glory be to God. That's the proto-evangel. Let's look at the summarization of the gospel. Now let's go over to our what we normally go to as our foundation text. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at the first verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with the first verse. Now, oh, my bad. If I'm going a little too fast, slow me down. Because I do get very excited. Thank you, Jesus. She got it, Mike.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Now, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand. We stand in this good news. We stand in it. Our feet are firmly planted on this gospel. It's not shifting sand and sinking sand underneath us. Our feet are solid and firmly planted on the gospel. By which also we are saved. We're saved by this gospel. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you, telling you the same thing, hold fast to it. Don't let it go. Remember, if you treat it like money, you get the picture because you hold fast to your money. You know, some of us got so fast. We got fingernail prints on this part of it to be holding so tight. Hold fast to this word. Don't let it go. What is the hold fast mean? Keep believing it. Keep believing it. Keep meditating. Keep doing it. Keep studying it. Keep doing it. Keep believing it. Keep doing it. Keep studying it. Keep doing it. Notice that part. Keep doing it.
Amen.
It's not enough just to do all this. Remember, belief in the Greek doesn't mean our belief. Belief for us is just head knowledge. Just believe it up here. Belief in the Greek is to believe it to the point that you are so convinced of it that you'll do it every single time.
Amen.
Belief, biblical belief, leads to obedience.
Amen.
You can't just, oh, I believe you. No, I believe you, and I'm going to show you why how I believe in you, because I'm doing. That's why I say, Jesus said, he that heareth the words of mine and doeth them, his house is built on a rock. Mm-hmm. James talks about hearing, don't just be a hearer only, but a doer. That man is blessed in his deeds, not just a hearer. So there are billions of hearers.
Amen.
But there are hundreds of thousands way lower that are doing.
Amen.
By which you are saved, verse 2, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. See, if you don't hold fast, then he said your belief was in vain. You can say I believe, and you walk up to the average person and say, oh, I believe in God. But then you got to question it. Remember, you taught here to be an apologetic, right? So then you question, you interview that particular person. Because anybody can flippantly say, I believe in God. But if there's no doing behind that, remember, faith without
works
Thank you. Is what? Dead. Thank you. I got a good church here. Dead. It's dead. Graveyard dead. Mortician dead. What's the room in the hospital where they put morgue dead? There must be action. What is this that he delivered? First of all, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And I keep saying it again after that colon. Here it is. Here's the gospel summarized. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That, amen, Ms. Phyllis, you got her hand up. That's right. Her hand ought to be up. Everett, because that's reverent reading. He died. He gave his life. Look at this, for our sin, nothing he did, and nothing we did to get him to die. Hey, why don't you die for me? Mm-hmm. You know, man, I'm worried about that. What you think about that? Not hardly. He died while we were enemies. We were opposed to everything godly. And just think about your life. Think about your life when you're doing your thing. God was nowhere up in there. Mm-hmm. This is the gospel summary. You said to summarize it because in order for him to have died, he had to first live. In order for him to live, he had to first be born. So all of that is couched in there. Mm-hmm. He had to first be born. He had to be born of a virgin birth, having that supernatural seed placed into Mary's womb. And he had to live a sinless life, which we'll get to a little bit later. And he had to die a sacrificial death and so forth. That is the good news. All right. So far, we've gone over sola gratia, G-R-A-T-I-A. We've gone over sola fide, F-I-D-E. Sorry about that. That's a little raggedy there. Yeah, sola fide, F-I-D-E. By the way, sola gratia is?
Grace alone.
Grace alone. Thank you. Sola fide?
Faith
alone. So what's implied is we are saved by sola gratia, grace alone, only. Remember we said this is an answer to the Roman Catholicism belief that was going on at that time, that it was grace plus something else, faith plus, when we mentioned that, the scriptures plus and so forth. And so the reformers came along and said, no, it's not, it's only grace alone, through faith alone. All right? The next one is spelled a little different, S-O-L-U-S, solus Christo, C-H-R-I, hold on, running out of space here, let me just make it bigger. Christus, actually, C-H-R-I-S-T-U-S, S-O-L-U-S, solus Christus, that's in Christ alone. We're going to start there. We first kicked off, all mankind is a sinner. Man is born a sinner, is under the wrath of God, cannot save himself. He is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, sola fide. We finished up that, I think we finished up through faith. Did we finish that up? What's the last one you got?
First Thessalonians.
What's before that? Did we get into Titus?
No.
No Titus. Ephesians 2? No.
I got Ephesians 2 and Titus 3:5.
Titus 3:5, yes. Okay. So let's go back to Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. verse 5. You notice, even when we were dead in our transgressions, our sins, our lawlessness. Oh, by the way, even though we were dead, what was dead? Our spirits were dead. This is the case for total depravity, total inability. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, unable to believe, unable to obey, unable to seek, unable to do that which is right, unable to please God, dead. Look at the good news. That's the bad news. The good news is, made us alive together with Christ. That's the supernatural resurrection of our spirits. He made us alive when we were dead. That's why I said, what credit could we ever take? We were dead. Dead spirits can't do anything righteous. It's an impossibility. You can't work your way into the kingdom. I know you've heard this many times. We were dead in our transgressions. He made us alive together with Christ. Parenthetical. By grace you have been saved. Sola gratia. For by grace, verse 8. Go down to verse 8. Says it again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Sola fide. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Not of works. So that no one may boast. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The reason I don't put the verses up here, because I like to pick finger turning, get you involved in the text. I like that. So I'm going to leave that. I don't want you to be reading something. I like that. Keep your mind engaged. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We didn't go over this last time? We did. Okay. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Y'all remember that? Because all doesn't mean all, but all groups, people groups. Not just one group. Not just one ethnicity. But all people groups, all cultures. Glory be to God. There is no respect of persons, of cultures, of ethnicities and groups with God. Thank you, Jesus. He brings salvation to all people. Whether it be over in China, Asia, Africa, Europe, North America, South America. The red, the brown, the black, the yellow, and the white are going to be in heaven. Amen. That's going to be something to see, Uncle Mike. Do you hear me? Amen. That's going to be something to see. Just millions and hundreds of millions of people, all perfect, all glorified, getting along forever. No backstabbing. That OJ anointing will be gone. Nobody's smiling in your face. All the time, they want to take your place. All gone forever. Everyone getting along. Of every tongue and tribe and people and nation. That's Revelation. That's not me. I don't have no fairy tale hope. That's the word of God. Every tongue, every tribe, every people, every nation. There will be no backroom deals keeping a particular ethnic group back and advancing others. There will be no policies doing anything like that. Glory be to God. All that day will be gone forevermore. I can't wait. Woo! It's too much. So he's bringing salvation to all men by the grace. So what appeared to us? The grace of God. The grace of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus is a personification of the grace of God. That's how it appeared. It appeared in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn up next chapter 3. Still reviewing. Titus chapter 3. Verse 5, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
He saved us, comma, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Remember, because that's just filthy rags. Comma, but according to his mercy. Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
By the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We were regenerated and we were renewed all by the Holy Spirit. Nothing we could have done. In our unregenerated, unrenewed state, we were just dead. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We just read verse 5. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Verse 6. Whom he poured out on us. Who? Go back to verse. In the verse 5. The Holy Spirit. Whom the Holy Spirit. He, God Almighty, poured out on us. Richly. He could have just said poured out on us. But he lavishly did that. He overdoes stuff. He's the God of the overmuch. That's good news, amen?
Amen.
He overpays. You don't believe me? Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. And I keep saying, did you know that he didn't require us to give good measure? Press down. Shaking together. Running over. And then you'll get that. He just said give. And if your attitude is right in your giving, I'm going to give good measure. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. Even though you haven't given good measure. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. I'm the God of the overpayment. The overmuch. The greatest investment you could ever make. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 6, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 7, so that being justified by his grace, gratia, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Don't we have hope in eternal life? That's our hope. That's our hope. Our hope is not in this life. If it is, you're a miserable person. I ain't gonna lie to you. Just keeping it real. If your hope is in this life, you're a miserable person. Because I don't care how good this life is. Cars rust. People die. Money leaves. Houses burn. People forsake you, turn their back on you, do you wrong, including even those who are kin to you. Biological. Sometimes they're the worst ones sometimes. They give you more pain than the stranger that don't even know you. You don't want your hope to be in this life.
That's right.
Our hope is not in this life. The song says, nor in this world's rewards. But our hope is in a life that will never end.
Amen.
Yeah. Our hope is in you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Our risen King, ascended Lord. Amen. That's where our hope is. It's in him. That's why we have hope. That's why I have so much joy. I have so much peace. My future is secure. It's set. Nobody can do anything about it. No policies can come up, no matter where I can or can't live, no matter what happens. You cannot mess with what Jesus has already done. That's good news. And so we've been justified by his grace. So reviewing, all mankind has sinned. Man is born a sinner. Man is under the wrath of God. He cannot save himself. He is saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ. I think we went over some of these too. Let's slide down to, how far do we go in grace alone?
We finished, we were still a Christian.
Okay, thank you. So faith alone, we went over that faith is in Christ. Just right quick, Philippians 3:9. Said, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So we got faith, grace alone, through faith alone, and this is in Christ alone. Solus Christus. Man is saved in, by, through, and because of Christ Jesus alone. Man is saved in, by, through, and because of Jesus Christ and him alone. Period. Let's look at that. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Chapter 1,
okay.
Verse 21.
Okay.
Matthew 1:21. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The angel speaking to Joseph concerning Mary. She shall bear a son. Okay, my bad. Yeah. She shall, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Okay, excellent. Whenever I go too fast, just hold your hand up and I'll slow it down. Okay, Matthew 1:21. She, talking about Mary, remember the angel is speaking. She shall bear a son, he's talking to Joseph. And you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. We talked about this last time. We did start that because we talked about his people. His people. Everybody is not his people. And I know we're trying to make everybody all inclusive. The gospel is very exclusive. And the world doesn't like that. But you can't wimp out because of the pressure from the outside world to make the gospel say something, or the word of God say something that it isn't, that it doesn't say. It says his people. That's a specific group. We are blessed to be in that group. We are his people. And he will save his people from their sins. Can you see why faith must be in Christ alone? Because he's the only one that can save.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, the 14th chapter, and verse 6. John 14 and 6. Jesus said to him, got it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, a truth, a life, the way, the truth, and the life. In case you didn't understand the, then the next part even helps clears it up too. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's very exclusive. We didn't make it up. It's in the word. If they're offended by it, you got to stand your ground in faith and preach it to them. You can't. Man, that's exclusive. Man, that ain't wrong, man. Ain't nobody. Nope. It's what the word says. You don't argue with the word. We've told you that. The word of God teaches us you don't argue the word of God. You simply speak that word and you move on from there. Because once you've given them the truth, then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. It may be 2 years later that I had a conversation with this dude, 2 years ago, and boom, he can bring it back. But you got to give him the truth. The Holy Spirit works with the gospel, not ideologies, not theories, not reasonings, not things because you're scared of what's going to happen if you speak the truth because it's kind of a hard truth. Or it is a hard truth. But you got to speak it. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And he put the in all three in front of all of them. There is no multiple truths. It's not your truth. Well, whatever your truth is, that's today. That's why there's so much confusion in the world, because nobody knows what's really true. Even Pilate was asking back then, truth, what is true, when Jesus told him. He was asking that back then. Way back then, they're still asking the same thing. What is truth? Why? Because there's no objective truth. There's no settled ground, cement ground truth that doesn't shake, doesn't move. It's settled. And that's the word of God. That's our truth, God's truth. When you walk away from that, then anybody's truth can be true according to them. That's why there's so much confusion. That's why there's a sliding morality or immorality. Whereas homosexuality and abortion was done way deep in the closet. Now it's out in the open and demanding you believe with them. Why? Because that was just a belief. They said, well, you know, we're more in less primitive times now. We're more with it, we're more hip, it's okay to do this. And so they're just a sliding morality. Whereas the word of God is the same. It hasn't changed. and it will never change. And the God who spoke the word doesn't change, and therefore his word is just as unchangeable as he is. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You have in your hands, 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1, a more sure word. It's sure, it's settled. It's forever, unshakable, unmovable. Stand on the word, word of life. Stand on it. No one comes to the Father but through me. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. 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 There is, and there is rather, salvation. Look at this. In no one else. I think King James has no other. There's salvation in no one else. How clear is that? How exclusive is that? For there is no other. In case you don't understand the no one else, he goes on to say, for there is no other name under heaven. Well, what about the guy over in Ecuador? Under heaven. What about the dude over in South Africa? Under heaven. But I know a dude in Europe, though. Under heaven. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Must be saved. How clear is that? That's why our faith must be in Christ alone. He's the only way to God the Father. The only way that we're saved. Skip over to chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 42. Acts chapter 10, verses 42 and 43. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Mm-hmm. You got a mother? Okay. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is, here it is again, the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. This is the one. By the way, appointed by God, right? You know God, you know Jesus wasn't plan B?
No.
You know, people kind of believe that, well, if this thing don't work out, you know, then we'll rush Jesus in there. God already knew that man was going to fall. Jesus was not only, he wasn't plan A, he was, because plan A implies a B. Is that fair statement, fellow? Mm-hmm. He wasn't plan A, he was just the plan. This was it.
Yeah.
This is it. It's Jesus. And that's it. He's not ranked number one, because that means we'd apply number two. Yes, he is the one. So Rolanda's not ranked number one. She is the one. There is no poll. She is it in my life. Jesus is it. That's it. He's the one who has been appointed by God personally as judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone, but look at the qualification, who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Not just everyone. It's not universalism. Universalists believe that everybody's going to be saved. But everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Solus Christus, Christ alone. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10. Glory be to God. Verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to wait for his son from heaven, which we're waiting for eagerly, whom he raised from the dead. That is, in case you don't know who he's talking about, that is Jesus. Who rescues us, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, from the wrath to come. Rescuer means deliverer. That's what salvation is. You know, a lot of people don't know salvation. We just say, I'm saved. You don't realize that saved means you've been rescued. You've been delivered. We didn't know about deliver, salvation, delivered, but we don't understand that all that means rescued. Then it puts a whole different spin on savior. Because rescue means automatically tells us we were in danger. To be rescued means I was in danger. And because we were in danger, and because we were in danger, we needed to be rescued. But that also lets us know that our danger was so dangerous and we were so impotent that we could not rescue ourselves from that danger. So to be rescued is to be extricated from a danger which would have ended in eternal death, with which we could not pull ourselves out of, and which Christ Jesus did. He rescued us from eternal damnation. Hence, he rescued us from the wrath to come. Thank you, Jesus. We've been delivered. Remember the second point and the third point in our thing is that we were man is a sinner, man is born in sin, and is under the wrath of God, or the wrath of God abides on him. That's what we've been rescued from. That's why when you aren't taught this ad nauseum, ad infinitum, you'll never know to be joyous when you hear, wow, we've been rescued from the wrath of God. We just hear it and we just move on, or we never hear it. We get more excited about a job raise, a Mercedes, a house, this and the other than we do against more eternal riches. We've been rescued. He didn't have to do it, but that he did is we're forever grateful. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's move over to chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 9. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Oh, the good news right there. For God has not destined us for wrath, thank you, Jesus, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, Solum Christus, him and him alone, who died for us, so that whether we are awake, which means alive when Jesus returns, or asleep or dead when Jesus returns, we will live together with him. It doesn't make a difference. We're going to live together with him. That's good news. Read it again, verse 9. For God has not destined us for the wrath to come. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 just told us we've been rescued from that wrath. And so God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Christ and Christ alone that we are saved. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Verse 11. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. And this life, what life? Eternal life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. What life is that? Verse 11 again, eternal life. The life that is known as Zoe, and that's spelled Z-O-E, Zoe, Z-O-E, eternal life, to have life as God has it. That's good news. So we are saved through faith in Christ. Amen. Amen. These next few questions are kind of simple, but they're designed to get you to think. So what is it about the Lord Jesus Christ that saves us? What did he do? Someone says, well, what do you mean, what did he do? Well, he died on the cross. Everybody knows that. He died on the cross for our sins. You notice a setup. If I'm doing something that simple, you know I'm setting you up, right? And somebody fell for it, and they said, he died. Yeah, he did. Yeah. I heard it back. Oh, Miss Phyllis, I got you. But you're right. You're not wrong. He most certainly died. I'm trying to get you to think. Yes, we always say he died on the cross. He shed his blood, which he did. But before the cross, something else happened. He had to live a sinless life, and that's usually overlooked. I'm going to let you know, break this down to you as to why that's being overlooked. It's not intentional, but it's there. We're going to kind of begin this because our time is running out already. But let's talk about his sinless life first. Let's go over what we know about him. Look at John, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, and verse 29. The Gospel of John, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse. Gospel of John, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse. He lived a sinless life. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Here it is. For I always do those things that please him. If he always, or since he always did those things that pleased him, is that safe to say that he lived a sinless life? Because if he sinned one time, then he did something that did not please God. Because sin never pleases God. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 53, it speaks about, instead of using the word sin or transgression, it uses the word violence toward God. Sin is an act of violence toward God. That's a strong word. We understand violence in high definition nowadays because there's so much of it. Sin is an act of violence against God. He did not sin one time because he always did that which pleased the Father. What a record. What a testimony. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Yep. 2 Corinthians. Yep. Yep. Chapter 5, verse 21. This is talking about God, what God did. God made Jesus, who knew no sin. So that's the He made Him. He is God the Father, made Him, Jesus the Son, who knew no sin. You see that? To be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, now, are you schizophrenic? You just said that He made Him who knew no sin to be sin. To be sin. How can someone who doesn't know sin be sin? Are you confused? No. And there's a whole lot of messed up theology behind this. No, Jesus didn't become a sinner. No, there's no sin on His account. If you look, you see this phrase here, on our behalf. You see that? That's us. So recognize, let me go to on our behalf, and then make it work backwards and figure out what He's talking about. So what it means to be sin means that Jesus was treated as if He were a sinner on our behalf. So our sins were, Isaiah 53, were laid on Him. And so God treated Him as if He were me. Amen. Does that make sense? That's the definition of the substitutionary death. He was the substitute for Greg Harris. Thank you, Lord, is right. Because I said it may be. I should have had my kidney and spleen and things exposed because of the cat of nine tails ripping flesh out of his back, exposing organs. Should have been me having to carry that heavy cross in that state of being beaten, losing a ton of blood. And after the stretchiness of that cross, tearing up the wounds that you already had from the beating. Stumbling under the weight of it. That's why somebody didn't carry the cross for me. Couldn't carry it any further. So much blood loss. Weakness. Should have been me being nailed. The vicious Roman torture for criminals. It should have been us. But it couldn't be us, because you had to have a sinless life in order to get to the cross. He didn't know any sin, but He was made sin for us. He was treated as if He were us, sinners, on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He became the sinner of Greg, the sinner of mankind. The sin of mankind, that we might become the righteousness of God. He became the sin of us, that we might become the righteousness of Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
May I say that one more time? He became the sin of us. And again, became, it simply means that He didn't become a sinner. He was representing us as sinners. And God treated Him as such. Don't ever attribute sin to Jesus within Himself, that we might become the righteousness of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We don't have that. But instead, we have one who has in all things as we are, look at this, yet without sin. No sin. And one more, 1 Peter 2:22. 1 Peter 2:22. 1 Peter Chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Peter 2:22. We'll stop right there. And we'll finish up because I want to take my time through this. 1 Peter 2:22. And we can just read the first part of it and be done with it. Who committed no sin? Period. Nor was deceit found in his mouth. Because he was not sinful, he didn't even speak that which was deceitful. Who committed no sin? He lived a sinless life. We're going to stop there, but just a teaser for next week. We know that. But I want you to understand there are those, and this is the teaser, who believe that Jesus couldn't sin, period. He could not, that it was an impossibility for him to sin. Let that nugget hang. We'll pick up with that next week. Father God, we are overwhelmed by your word. We're overwhelmed by the work, by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's too much. And I know we don't have it. I thank God for the advent of a CD player or being able to download an internet to be able to hear the anointed word over and over and over again. Because we're just so finite. These are such grandiose, grand, majestic truths that they transcend our ability to even comprehend them.
Amen.
We've heard some ridiculously fantastic truths. But I venture to say we probably barely got a 16th of what was spoken today. That's why you said in your word over and over, meditate these things day and night and night and day and night. Help us to treasure your word, to just love it. Let us eat it like Jeremiah and let it have the same fantastic, wonderful, majestic results. And it became the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. Let it cause joy. Let it cause us to rejoice. Let us truly, Psalm 119, value your word as much as in all riches. That means you are just so rich, you're spending $1 million a day and it doesn't put a dent in your riches. You're trying to put a natural component to that. That's a lot of money. You're spending $365 million a year and it doesn't even put a dent in all that you have. He's saying, let us treasure the word as much as in all riches. We're nowhere near that. We're not there yet. Help us to get there. Help us to treasure your word, deposit, and store it up in our hearts in abundance that we may not sin against you. For your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. It shows us the way to go. We need it. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory. Father God, you are the only wise God. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now in time and forever in eternity. In Jesus' holy, mighty, and majestic name, let every heart say, Amen.
Amen.